Hey, this is Leo for Actualized.org, and in this episode, I'm going to rant a bit about culture. Ever since I was a kid, I've been suspicious of culture. Somehow it rubbed me the wrong way. And I mean every type of culture, not just a specific culture. I've always really disliked culture, and for the longest time, I didn't know why. So this would include gamer culture, biker culture, pickup culture, hippie culture, goth culture, tattoo culture, American culture, academic or scientific culture, corporate culture, black culture, drug culture, Christian culture, Islamic culture, Hindu culture, Russian culture, and by the way, I'm Russian originally, geek or nerd culture, and sports culture. So that's just the tip of the iceberg of all the cultures that are there. A lot of these are sort of subcultures. Some of them are larger, some of them are smaller. But like I said, they've always rubbed me the wrong way, and I never felt like I fit into any culture. Maybe you can resonate with that. And like I said, for the longest time, I didn't know why this was. I thought it was just like, I'm kind of weird, and I don't know why I don't fit into any culture. But the more I started doing consciousness work and personal development work, I realized why this is. And it's because all culture is fundamentally artificial and limited, and it stifles consciousness. That's the problem. And I'm not picking on any particular culture here. I mean all cultures. I'm painting deliberately with a broad brush here. All cultures are inherently limited. They're inherently artificial. They're inherently arbitrary. They're constructs of the human mind. They are biased, inherently so. They're moralizing. They're bigoted. They're egoic. They're inauthentic to individuals. They force people into pigeonholes and straitjackets. Very often they're neurotic, they're escapist, they're very clannish, and they get aggressive whenever they're threatened. Really, what we're dealing with here when we're talking about culture is we're dealing with the collective ego. So if ego is what you got going on personally, and we've already talked in the past about how many problems the ego creates for us. Okay, so when we're self-actualizing, we're dealing with this ego and how to overcome its limitations. But it's not merely that we have our own private little egos. It's also that our private little ego is very intimately wedded to the collective ego of our society, of our nation, of our continent, of our religion, of our scientific paradigm, of our local community, of our city, of our state. You know, it like you've got all these layers to it. And this ego, just like the individual ego, which is a construct of all these things that we cling to about ourselves, well, the collective ego is just like that. It's also a construct. It doesn't really exist in the sense that you can point your finger at it and say, there it is, there's culture. It doesn't work like that. Right? Culture is this kind of ethereal, abstract thing. You can't quite pin it down, and yet it's such a pivotal player in your life, and it influences you so much. And the problem here, though, is that it's kind of like you're the fish in water. The culture is the water, and the fish has spent his whole life living in the water, doesn't even recognize that there is influences from culture. What's easy to recognize is influences from other cultures. And a lot of people have their disliked culture, like, oh, I don't like that culture there, and I don't like this culture there, I don't like this country, I don't like that nation, I don't like that football team, I don't like those Republicans or those Democrats, or I don't like those philosophers or those scientists or those religious people. But then when it comes to your culture, that's where you generally have a blind spot. And that creates many, many problems. Now, it's very easy to denounce other cultures, because we can see the inherent limitations of other cultures. But it's very difficult to see your own culture and the influence it has on you and the limitations that it places on you. Now, you might say, well, Leo, what's wrong with culture? I mean, aren't there good cultures out there? Isn't it a matter of, like, avoiding the bad ones and finding the good ones? And what I would say is no, it's not that small of a problem. It's a lot deeper of a problem because all culture fundamentally is mechanical. It's mechanical. And everything that's mechanical prevents consciousness from growing. And given that your prime directive in life is to be growing and developing your consciousness, culture presents a huge, huge, huge unseen obstacle for you. You don't even know that it's there. It's like a glass ceiling that you keep hitting your head against as you're trying to grow and self-actualize. And you wonder, like, why am I hitting this glass ceiling? Well, it's because your culture is there in the background. Now, some cultures are a lot more toxic than others, so I'm not saying they're all equally bad. And I'm not saying that there's not some good elements to culture. But even if you take the most spiritual cultures of all time, like, what would that be? Maybe that would be, you might say that that's like something like Buddhism. You might say, well, Leo, what's wrong with Buddhism? That seems like a perfectly good spiritual culture. Well, if you start to do a little bit of research, you start to see a lot of dysfunctions, a lot of limitations, a lot of problems with Buddhist culture. You start to see it really quickly if you do just some objective research. And the same will go for any culture. No matter how good you think it is, how spotless and how spiritual, it always devolves. Because fundamentally what you're trying to do is you're trying to take consciousness and then you're trying to distribute it to the masses through a cultural mechanism, and that always makes it mechanical, and then that always fails. But before I talk more about that, let's really get specific here, because I want you to start to feel and to get a sense of the magnitude of what I'm talking about here. So try to imagine with me right now just how much your culture has affected you. And when I talk about culture, by the way, I don't just mean like the very traditional types of culture, like you might think of Islamic culture. It's pretty easy to see the culture in Islamic culture, or like maybe the culture in Buddhism. You can see it in there, right? These are very deep old traditions, or something like, you know, Judaism. You can see the culture in it, or like Roman Catholicism's in the Vatican. They have thousands of years of history. So, I mean, obviously that's culture. But I don't want you to make the mistake of saying, like, well, because I live in America or I live somewhere in Europe, you know, and I'm not really a church-going type and I'm not a really traditional type of person, that just because you're like that, that that means you're not affected by culture. No, in many ways, if you are like that, if you're living in a modern Western democracy like America or in Europe or maybe Australia or someplace, you actually have it, in a sense, the worst, because your culture is transparent to you, and yet at the same time, it has a lot of influences on you that you probably haven't really thought of before. So let's articulate a few of these. Imagine with me how much your culture has influenced the following things in you. How you dress. How you wear your hairstyle. The entertainment and media that you like and dislike and that you consume. The food that you like or dislike and consume. Your attitude towards drugs and alcohol. Your attitude towards prescription medicine. Your attitude towards work, business, and career, and how you think business ought to be run. The technology that you use. And also the technology that you don't use and that you think of as hokey or as pseudoscience. How has culture influenced your education and what you even understand education to be? To think of education as going from first grade to 12th grade and then going to 4 years of college, if that's what you think education is, just think about how much that whole scheme has been influenced by modern culture. Think about your ideas about how kids should be raised And remember that you were one of those kids who was raised according to the rules of your culture of how kids should be raised. Also, your ideas and norms about family, what a family is, what a family includes or excludes, and how families should function, what a healthy family looks like. Think about your views about sex and intimate relationships and romantic love and marriage, and how you view that huge chunk of your life, what you think is right there, what you think is wrong there, and the way that you go about having sex and the way you go about having intimate relationships, and what you believe love is, and how it actually works, the mechanics of those things. Think about how much your culture has shaped that. Try to also imagine how much your culture has shaped your paradigms of what you believe reality is. People often think like, oh, reality is just reality. We know what it is. It's just the facts. No. Reality is not just the facts. The facts are held in the context of your culture. And what's really crazy, and we start to realize just how much the facts change, the perspective on the facts can change so much. The significance you attach to the facts and what you believe reality is can change so much depending on your culture. Because it's all about the context, you see. And culture is the context for almost everything you do, especially everything you do socially with other people. Think about also, try to imagine this, how culture has influenced your ideas of science. And what is valid science and valid knowledge versus invalid science and invalid knowledge? Maybe you might call that folk knowledge or pseudoscience. This stuff is not carved in stone. This is part of your culture. You see? Think about history. Oh, this is a big one. Imagine, just try to imagine, this is so significant, how much your culture has impacted your knowledge of human history. It's so easy to overlook this because in school we're just taught history and we just think, oh yeah, history is just history. No, history completely depends on the culture and the country that you learned it from. Completely, almost completely. If you grew up in Africa, you would have very different history lessons than if you grew up in America versus whether you grew up in Australia versus whether you grew up in Singapore or in China somewhere, right? These would all be very, very different histories. They would stress very different things, and they'd have very different perspectives on the evolution of humanity and civilization. And if you were a Native American, you would have a very different sense of history than Americans do. Also, try to imagine just how much culture has shaped your morality and your ethics, what you believe is right and wrong. That's huge. Also, think about, now getting a little bit more personal, how much your culture has shaped your values and ideals about your own life, what you want for yourself, your deepest desires and your goals. Can you see how culture is a huge component of that? It's not that you were just born and you just have some desires to become successful or to become a scientist, or you have a desire to become a professional athlete, you know, football player or something like that. No. Can you see that that's all part of culture? Also, your ideals about how you're supposed to look, how tall you're supposed to be, what color hair you're supposed to have, what kind of clothes you should wear, you know, all these ideals you have, how popular you should be, how much money you should have, what kind of girlfriend or husband you should have. Can you see that that's all culturally influenced? Can you start to grasp the significance of this? Also, fears. Imagine how much culture shapes what you fear the most in life. What do you fear? Do you fear not being liked? Do you feel being ridiculed? Do you fear becoming homeless? Do you fear being excommunicated from your church or from your community? Do you fear being called a pervert? Or a charlatan? What do you fear? And how has culture played into that? What do you believe? What are your beliefs? All the beliefs you have, how many of those are actually derived from culture? How many of those wouldn't even exist in you if not for your culture? How about gender roles? You think a man is just a man and a woman is just a woman? How much do you think culture played into that? What you think a man is and what you think a woman is? And what the ideals are for both of them and how they should interact? That's very much culturally derived. Think about death. What are your thoughts and beliefs about death? That's very much dependent on your culture. Not every culture views death as a bad thing. Not every culture denies it and ignores it and tries to run away from it the way that modern Western cultures do. Think about language. Try to imagine how much language, which comes completely from your culture, how much that has shaped your perspective on all of reality, including science, religion, and all your interactions with all your friends and all your beliefs. Those are all shaped by language. That's such a fundamental layer that we rarely think about. Language is not just a difference in the words that we use. Language actually affects the concepts you can hold in your mind and how you actually think about reality. The very grammar of language structures how you think about the world. Sports. Do you like sports? Think about how much sports are a byproduct of culture. Spirituality. Are you into spirituality? Do you have spiritual practices or religious beliefs? I mean, that is hugely influenced by your culture. Health. How do you view health? What do you think is healthy or unhealthy? This is all coming from culture. And also your hobbies. Whatever hobbies you have, are you collecting stamps? Are you collecting butterflies or whatever hobbies you might have that you like to do? Think about how much those are probably shaped by culture as well. A shocking revelation is to realize that you are in a cult and you don't even know it. That's what culture is. Culture is just a big cult. And you know, it's very interesting because a lot of times people who are very sucked into mainstream culture, they will point to what look like bubbles or subcultures within the mainstream culture and say, oh, look, that's a cult. Like those Mormons are a cult and those Scientologists are a cult and those people over there are like a cult and this is a cult. And maybe Leo, like actualize.org is starting to turn into a cult. But the people that I see that always point the finger and say, oh, look at that cult. What they're not aware of is that the biggest cult you got to be afraid of is not those little cults. It's the gigantic overcult, the superset of all cults, which is the national cult that you grew up in, which is almost completely transparent to you. And it feels just like reality to you. It feels like it couldn't be any other way. And then yet, you know, you go travel to a totally different country, which has a totally different culture, and you get this culture shock. And all of a sudden you see just how arbitrary all that stuff that your culture has been doing really is. But even if you do go travel around, that still won't be enough to see the tentacles of this thing. You know, your culture, the tentacles of your culture are buried so deep in every orifice of your body. That I like that image because it's a disturbing image. Imagine a giant octopus with tentacles in every orifice of your body. That's what's happening to you, right? And the biggest thing is that nobody told you this because, of course, part of every culture is to deny that it's a culture, to deny its arbitrariness, to deny the fact that it's a construction. So what is a culture really? What is the function of culture? Why does culture even exist? Well, this is a deep philosophical topic that you could ponder for hours and hours, and I encourage you to do that. But just to gloss over it really quickly, what's going on with culture, I think, is that you have a collective identity, a collective ego being created by individuals that are coming together for purposes of survival and reproduction, basically. And the culture facilitates that. The culture is like a higher order organization amongst social creatures, humans in this case, primates, monkeys, whatever, that then allows them to bond better. So there's a sharing of common values and beliefs and ideas and so forth. And this, of course, creates a sort of paradigm or a lens through which all of reality is viewed. And it's not the culture's prime objective to increase the consciousness of the collective or of itself. Culture is mostly concerned with survival and reproduction and outcompeting other neighboring cultures. See? And really, the really kind of deep, almost cynical definition of culture is it's a collective bubble of delusion. That's what it is. Think about this for a second. If you had a bunch of individuals, as an individual, you basically just have kind of reality, whatever reality is. That's before culture, right? Imagine there's no culture at all. It hasn't been invented yet. So you just have an individual in the middle of the jungle, and he's there within reality. Now, what's beneficial perhaps to that individual is to come up with visual ideas and constructs about reality. But what's the problem there? Well, the problem there is that if you come up with some fantasy about reality and it's only you in the jungle, well, the jungle will easily kick your ass, won't it? And your ideas about how the jungle works won't matter very much. They're not going to help you that much because you're going to, you know, your feet are going to be burned by the brutal nature of reality itself. And so if you start to have all sorts of fanciful beliefs about how reality works within the jungle is basically going to kill you. Okay, so that doesn't work. But let's say we get together 100 people. Now those 100 people, if they come up with some ideas and constructs about how the jungle works, well, they've got more slack, so to speak, because together what they can do is they can actually take their ideas, and because you're building this house of cards, each card reinforces and leans on the other. So these 100 individuals, like nodes in a network, can come together, come up with a construction, and that construction all of a sudden takes on a very real, significant meaning that otherwise it couldn't have. Because each other node in the network reinforces the validity of that belief or that worldview. And so in this way, we can have a construction such as money, a totally arbitrary invention, but also very useful. And also potentially very dangerous, as we find out with, economic global collapses, which we're starting to face all around the world nowadays because of all the shenanigans that go on in the financial markets, right? But you can start to see how money, even though it's a construction, because we all believe in it, it takes on a reality of its own. And that really, if you think about it, from the standpoint of the evolution of reality, right? It's like first there was the planet Earth. Then there was bacteria. Then those bacteria evolved into creatures and lizards and dinosaurs. And then those died. And then we have mammals. Then we had humans. And like all of this was like nature was inventing all this cool stuff. And now with humans, a really interesting invention comes online, which didn't really exist with other creatures, not on this scale, is that we can just manufacture our own fantasies. And just by the fact that we can take this fantasy and spread it around amongst a billion people, that fantasy takes on a life of its own, and it actually becomes sort of a pseudo-reality. That's the power of belief. That's the power of collective fantasy. And so modern man lives in these bubbles, right? These bubbles of constructed fantasies. And these apply to what clothing you should wear. Think about it, like nature doesn't care what clothing you wear, and yet it makes a huge important difference when you're going to high school what clothing you wear. If you go to high school with the wrong clothing, you're not going to have sex. People are going to laugh at you. They're going to ridicule you. Your reputation will be ruined. Or if you're trying to feed your family by starting a business or having a career, it's going to matter what clothing you wear, and it's going to matter how much money you have in your bank account, and it's going to matter, all this socially constructed stuff is going to matter. Otherwise, you will not get hired for the job. If you come into a job interview and you tell them that you believe in Satan, they probably won't hire you. Even though nature doesn't care if you believe in Satan or not, but other human beings do. And because you've now grown up in a society which is completely dominated by the culture that we've created, in a sense, like, nature has become a distant second, far down on the list of priorities. Your first priorities are now to fit into the social matrix, to impress people, to get people to like you, to play politics games, to earn money, to have sex with the right people, to get approval from the right people, and to play sports and to be in the team and to go to the gym and to look healthy and to look ripped and to have the right hobbies and all this sort of stuff, and to do spirituality in the right way. See? And what the culture does is the culture guilts you and pressures you into subscribing to the culture. And this happened to you, if you can remember, when you were a small kid, this started to happen to you. You as a kid had your own natural inclinations to do this or to dress this way or to say this thing here. But then what happened? Your parents or your friends or your teachers, which were all enforcers of the culture, they basically beat that out of you by telling you no, 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 no. And also giving you rewards for obeying the culture. And that way, they basically peer pressured and suckered you into believing and playing this game. And so it's a game. And like I said, it's bad enough to only be dealing with your own private ego, but now you also have to contend with the cultural ego. And that's a much bigger challenge in a sense, because your private ego, you kind of have, you can go to work on that. But what's really difficult to do is to change the cultural ego. That's what politics is all about. And you know how nasty and difficult that can be. And all of this, of course, relates back to you and to the development of your consciousness. And what you have to realize is that the raising of your consciousness, which is your prime imperative in life, is a solo activity. Consciousness cannot be raised as a group project. Consciousness is purely a solo activity. Now, you might say, well, Leo, there's a lot of spiritual traditions, and it seems like I have more success working on my spiritual habits, like if I'm meditating in a group. Or, what about Buddhism or Hinduism or some of these other traditions, like Zen, for example, which is a culture, which have produced many enlightened people, and they seem to be able to successfully raise consciousness. No. That's an illusion. Yes, some cultures are more conducive to the raising of consciousness, but consciousness itself is only raised on an individual level. This is very important to understand. It's only raised on an individual level. You might even look at actualize.org and you might say, well, actualize.org, that's like a little culture, a little subculture that helps me to find a sense of community and a sense of support for self-actualizing. Yes, it seems like it does that, but in the end, your ability to self-actualize will really only come down to your own inner work that you do or fail to do. And any attempt that you make to self-actualize as part of a group, it's not going to work too well. In fact, what it's going to produce is going to produce all the mechanicalness that I described, and it's going to produce all the classic symptoms of a cult. And this is inevitable. Because this is how a collective ego works. You see? So you have to realize this. And this is why religion will always fail at producing enlightened people. As will any other organization or community. Not in the sense that they can't. but in the sense that they will always encounter the same kind of mechanical corruptions that happen with every mechanical system. And only to the extent that you're focusing inward on yourself and taking sole responsibility for your spiritual and conscious development, only to that extent can you actually become enlightened or can experience raising of consciousness within your group or your community. See? And to the extent that you forget about that and you get lost in the externals and in all the social relationships, to that extent, you're not raising your consciousness and you're actually lowering it. Your goal, as part of the self-actualization journey, is to become independent of all culture. Not to denounce it. Be very careful here not to interpret what I'm saying as culture is evil and bad, and now we have to judge everyone who's part of any culture, and then we have to denounce all culture. No, that would be equally bad. You want to transcend culture. You don't want to be reactive against culture. You want to be able to transcend it, which means that when you do interact with people who are deeply soaked in some kind of culture, that doesn't trigger you. And you don't need to tell them to stop. You don't need to convert them or proselytize them or to judge them or to wag your finger at them. No, you're cool with it. But you yourself have transcended culture, which means you operate outside of culture. Which, if you remember my video about self-actualization, where I talk about, I give you a whole list of all the features of a self-actualized human being according to Abraham Maslow's definition. There, one of the points, one of the hallmark features of a self-actualized person is that they have transcended culture. And I see very few people who have really, truly transcended culture. This is not an easy thing to do because we're so blind to it. So, how do you do this? How do you actually go about seeing the cultural blind spots? Well, firstly, simply by awareness. Just start to notice all the elements of culture that are like these tentacles that are crawling into every orifice in your body and how they're influencing you. Start to see that. Just by awareness of that alone, you'll start to gain distance and transcendence. And that can go a long way. You can really ramp up that awareness. But also by studying and experiencing other cultures. This is important. People who have only experienced one or two cultures tend to be very closed-minded and very stuck in their culture and very defensive about it. Whereas people who have experienced 3, 5, 10 different cultures and have actually lived in those cultures, they gain a very different perspective on life. They're much more open-minded. They're much more multicultural. And they're generally just much more chill human beings. Also, cut any cultural feeds that are feeding you with cultural information. So stuff like all the comedy videos that you watch on YouTube, all the movies you watch at the movie theater or on Netflix, all the magazines you read, the tabloids that you read, you know, the websites that you visit for your popular news and stuff like that, the books that you read. So all the media basically is the most direct line that feeds you culture. And I know how much you love your media, your video games and your Netflix and so forth. So you know what? The bad news is that you might have to cut some of that stuff. Even though it's fun and you love it, at some point you have to realize also how much it's reinforcing all these beliefs and all these values and all these ideals that probably aren't what you really want in your life. But they're being fed. All those funny videos you watch that you love so much, they're all feeding you the same cultural norms and ideas. See? And it's because you love them so much, they just enter your brain and they just stick there. And then you never even question them. So start cutting those. Cut those feeds. Also, be less social. Because all the socialization you do with your friends, guess what? That's also feeding you feeding you with gossip, feeding you with the latest news, feeding you with the latest memes and the latest norms and latest fads, the newest movie that came out and this thing happened to that person. And, oh, what about this politician? Look at what he did, the sex scandal. See, all that stuff feeds in a subtle way, it feeds in. And it's dangerous because it feels pleasant to gossip about this stuff. But then, of course, what happens is that you don't really have any solitude time. So as you become less social, you're going to become more of a loner, and you're going to have a lot more time to reflect and to contemplate and to just be in solitude. And that's exactly what you need to start to undo and extricate yourself from the culture. Also, you should start to question everything. Question everything that your culture has ever taught you. Question every single belief that your culture takes for granted and holds as sacred and unquestionable. Become a true skeptic. Also, embark on your own journey. If you want to extricate yourself from culture, have something of your own that you're trying to create, you're trying to do. Have a life purpose. Because when you're focused on your life purpose, you're trying to accomplish something big, you're not going to have time to engage in all the cultural nonsense that goes around you. And also, you're probably going to have to break some cultural conventions to accomplish that big objective. Another huge one is psychedelics. Go try some psychedelics and see how much that shatters your notions of what your culture has taught you. It will really break down a lot of the beliefs and ideas and stories that you have that you really feel are part of reality. But psychedelics will quickly tell you that no, they're really just arbitrary constructions. Meditation is a huge. Pick up a meditation habit, start doing it every single day. The more you meditate, the longer you meditate, for years and years and years, as you keep doing that, you will slowly extricate yourself more and more from culture until eventually you can completely break out of it. Or, I wouldn't say completely, because culture is so deep that even people who get enlightened are still largely run by cultural norms. All right, think of a Zen master, a deeply enlightened Zen master. Well, he might be extremely enlightened, but he's still very much at the effect of his culture. And a lot of times in nasty and negative ways. And be more with nature. Because nature doesn't come with a culture. When you're out in the woods, when you're in a mountaintop, when you're in the middle of the ocean, when you're on a tropical island all by yourself, in the midst of nature, and it's beautiful and it's amazing, that somehow shifts something in you where you start to see reality stripped of all its cultural constructs, all the human shit that we constructed, this entire matrix, you're sort of ripped out of it, and you see the majesty of reality bare, without any adornments. And that can be a beautiful thing, and that's ultimately what you're shooting for, is to live in reality, free of all the adornments. Because, yes, the adornments, they seem kind of pleasant and sexy at first, but then later you realize that really they're just very gaudy. These gaudy human adornments that you don't need. And you're going to be much more satisfied and fulfilled when you just drop those. So that's it. That's my rant about culture. Remember that when I rant, you got to understand that I'm kind of doing a rant tongue in cheek. I'm not really here bitter about culture, pissed off and saying, oh, culture, we got to destroy all culture. No, I'm just kind of doing it for entertainment. You know, at this point, it's hard for me to even muster a serious rant these days, because it's just like, I'm not really attached to my beliefs or to my ideas that much. So I just kind of rant when it's fun to vent a little bit. And because I think that right now, you know, it's really lopsided. 99% of people are so immersed in culture that I feel like if I rant about culture a lot, that will just be a nudge in the opposite direction, right? I could shoot 100 hours of rant on culture, and that would still probably not be enough for you to get to the point where you are actually on the upper other end of the spectrum, where you're actually denouncing all culture and that's becoming neurotic. I mean, ultimately, you're going to have to find a balance, right? It's all about balance. But right now, I think you're safely on the end of the spectrum where you can really cut a lot of culture out of your life with no problems, only benefits. All right. So like I said, that's it. But I do have a worksheet for you. So go do the worksheet, fill it out, to take all this abstract stuff and to make it concrete. It's got questions on there that will really make you question how much culture has influenced your life. So that free worksheet is down below. Just click the link. That's it. I'm signing off. Post me your comments down below. Click the like button for me, please, right now. And share this episode with a friend. And then lastly, come to actualize.org. This is my website. Come check it out. It's an easier way to browse all my videos. I have some exclusive content on there. Subscribe to my newsletter. Stay tuned every single week for more content that I'm going to be releasing. Because to self-actualize, one of the things that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to dismantle many of the constructions that you created or your culture has created over your entire lifetime. And that process can be a tricky process. It's difficult to navigate that whole thing, right? There's a lot of sneaky little counterintuitive games that your mind will play on you that will sabotage you in that quest. So my objective is to provide you with the knowledge, the big picture understanding so that you can go on this journey and ultimately purify yourself of all this artificialness and get to the bare truth of what you are, what reality is, and then to live from a place of freedom in your life so that you're not limited or controlled or bullied by all this baggage that you picked up from your social matrix. That's sort of what we're doing. So there's a lot more to share. Sign up, stay tuned, and I'll see you soon with more.